Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to read 12 verses. The chapter goes on a little bit, but I feel that there's a division here. And so I'll try to teach the first part of this chapter. It's a little bit more than I normally read, but I'll go ahead and read it, and then we'll know what we're talking about. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment, or clothing, of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet or acceptable for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I'm asking for understanding. I'm asking that you'd help me, the preacher, to understand, and that you'd give understanding to those listening, and the person that John the Baptist preached about is Jesus. And as I always say, sir, we would see Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for helping us. Amen. Jesus, in another place in the gospel, says that there's no prophet greater than John the Baptist. There was the prophet Isaiah, who spoke of John the Baptist. There was perhaps Elisha and Elijah. There was Moses, who went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." all sorts of prophets. Some did great miracles. Some had very powerful and convicting messages from God. All John did was preach. And it says that John didn't do any miracles. But Jesus said that there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist. John had the pleasure, had the honor of announcing the coming of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah talked about Jesus coming. Jeremiah, I'm sure, did. Micah called out the city of his birth. David spoke nonstop, really, about the coming of Jesus Christ. But John said, y'all heard about him, but here he is. And as we'll read just a little bit later, next time, pointed his finger and said, that's the one. That's the Messiah. That's Jesus. The one that the entire Old Testament talked about. So that makes him the greatest prophet that ever was. But in the first couple of verses, it says that John was preaching in the wilderness of Judea. We understand that God called out the Jews out of all the people of the entire earth of that day. God put his name upon the nation of Israel. God said, I'll dwell with you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then it went on down, and finally, God set up his temple in the wilderness, and then finally made a temple of stone in Jerusalem. But we read this story in the Old Testament, in Kings and Chronicles, and perhaps in the writings of the prophet Samuel, and other prophets mention it as well, that God said, follow me, and the people said, no, we won't. How many times do we see people that are raised in church and then they end up in the bars and smoking dope and doing whatever else? They were taught right as children, but then they end up drifting off and saying, no, I don't want to follow God, I want to have fun, I want to go with my friends, etc. The story of Israel is a sad one. They said, no, we don't want to follow God. They fell into sin. They worshipped other gods. They made molten gods, or iron and pewter and copper or what have you. They carved trees and said, whatever this is that I carved, looks like a totem pole, that's God, let's fall on the ground, bow to it and worship that thing that they had made. God was tired of idolatry. You can read that he said, if you don't quit worshiping other gods, I'm going to take you. I brought you into the land of Israel, but I'm going to throw you out. And for 70 years, they were carried away, carted away, led away in chains to Iraq, Babylon. And after 70 years, they were allowed to come back. I understand that, but through rebellion and through apathy and through whatever else, that there was no reason that they would ever have to be drugged from Jerusalem. Again, in chains, walking barefoot for however many months it took, starving along the way. There was no reason for that, except that they rebelled and said, well, you know, the Bible, we don't want that. We don't have time for that. Got other things on our mind. And there's a lot of history there, and I could go through a lot. I could take the entire sermon and talk about the history of Israel. But eventually, as I said, they were brought back. They repented after a great measure. And hundreds of years pass, and then Jesus Christ appears on the scene. We understand that he was born a Jew. We understand that he was born of the tribe of Judah. And he lived mostly in the land of Israel, except for the few years down in Egypt. But he said, salvation is to the Jews. But then, in John chapter 4, I think it was, it says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. It's an old term. It says, I have to go. I must needs go. I simply have to go through Samaria. But John the Baptist, he just appears. We read a little bit in chapter 1 about the lineage of Christ, and we reread in chapter 2, but then out of nowhere in chapter 3, verse 1, John the Baptist shows up. If you read the book of Luke, there's some story told, some explanation of why John the Baptist was here. It tells of his parents, it tells of his birth, etc. It gives a story. But in the book of Matthew, John the Baptist just appears, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. The book of Luke tells the story of Jesus as a man. We know that he's God come in the flesh. But if you read the book of Luke, the perspective is that Jesus is a man filled with the Spirit of God. And all of his ministry, we read, is not Jesus as God healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching great sermons, but as a man trusting in the power of God, depending upon God. And that, I think, is an important point, that as we try to minister, if you're a preacher or you try to teach a Sunday school class or you just want to tell somebody about Jesus as you're sitting on the bus trying to get home from work, you can do it in your own power, I suppose, but you should trust God. It's God's work you're doing. Well, let's ask God to help. Duh, who ever thought of that? You should trust God. Luke tells of Jesus' humanity. But the message here in Matthew, as we're studying, is the appearance of the King of Israel. And he too just appears. After hundreds of years of silence, God not saying a single thing to anyone, hardly, Jesus just appears. And it talks about the time of Israel's visitation. And that's a word that speaks of stewardship. God gave Israel something to do, which is to worship God, to serve Him, and also tell the Gentile world, hey, you know, y'all ought to follow God too. And the idea of visitation, or calling to account the steward, is repeated throughout this gospel. But not only is the theme talked about, but the truth and the fact that God came to Israel and said, okay, you've had these hundreds or thousands of years, you've had my word, you've had the prophets, you've had all of these things, you've had my presence in battle way, way, way back ago, long ago. You went to battle and I fought for you. At times you went to battle and you didn't even pick up your sword, or rather take it out of its sheath, let's say, but I fought for you. I sent you prophet after prophet, judge after judge, etc., etc., etc. What did you do with these thousands of years and all these things that I gave you? How did you make up? But it says that Israel was found wanting. Israel blew it. In great measure, they just blew it. We'll get in a few verses talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. That, too, is a sad story. It starts in verse 7, which we're not anywhere near that yet. But instead of serving God with a pure heart, they had other things in mind. But that is the story of Matthew, the coming of the Lord Jesus as King of the Jews. And there are many parables I can quote them, I suppose, or look them up at any rate, and talk about the king that went into a far country and he left his stuff, all of his lands and cattle and all that stuff, to servants. And he came back and said, well, what did you do? And there are several parables that talk about that, that mostly the master, the king, etc., was disappointed because they sat on their hands or they wasted his goods, etc. And honestly, that's the story of mankind. We read in Genesis, first few chapters, that God gives us something, and we blow it. God gives us the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve blow it. All through the Old Testament, men blow it. Jesus finally comes, does the work of redemption, dies on the cross for mankind, and of course rises from the dead, and then says, I'm going to heaven, I'll send you my Spirit, let's see what you can do with the gospel. For over 1,000 years, we did nothing. It's called the Dark Ages. Okay, fine, the Spirit begins to move in the church again. There's the Reformation. Maybe you want to talk about Azusa Street, the Spirit of God's poured out and helps us to go around the world doing missionary work. But we get involved in religion. This denomination's mad at that denomination. They fight over different doctrines. Or they get on TV and beg for money. Or what have you. It's not a happy story, really, when you think about it. Too often we just blow it. Hey, y'all can cheer up now, I suppose. But John's in the wilderness preaching repentance. We understand that Israel as a nation was born in the wilderness. God sent Moses, and by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. And they went out from Egypt and went straight into the wilderness. They could have gone right into the promised land, but God needed to prove them and test them. And that's where the law was given, in the wilderness. But we find John in the wilderness, out in the weeds somewhere, preaching repentance. Repentance. Not preaching if you write a check, sow a seed to this ministry, etc. He didn't preach that. He said, repent. We read just a couple of chapters, or the next chapter, or whatever, when Jesus began his ministry, it says he started to preach repentance. Men need to repent. Men need to say that, God, I'm wrong. God, I know you've got 10 commandments, I broke all 10. You got 15, I'll break them too. I'm wrong. It's a hard thing for many people to say, Lord, I'm wrong. I've done things wrong. I've done the wrong thing. Had bad thoughts in my heart. It's a hard thing many times. But he preached repentance. And in the church today, we've got to get back to preaching repentance and preaching the cross. Preaching that Jesus Christ shed his blood and died on Mount Calvary. We've got to get back to the preaching of the cross, and we must preach as John did, repentance. Now, John the Baptist, we call him John the Baptist. Baptist wasn't his last name. It's what he did. He baptized people. People heard what he had to say, and they said in their heart, Lord, I'm wrong. I've done wrong. I've heard the word of God, and it convicts me in my heart, and I know I've done wrong. And they said, what do we do? And John said, well, come on and be baptized. They were at the Jordan River, and he took them into the water and dunked them, and they went up out of the water. Baptism is a symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. It's a symbol of death. The people didn't drown. They were under the water just a second or two, but it was a symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. The word baptism means to immerse. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We, as sinners, we do whatever we want. Cindy can testify. She works in a preschool. At 2 years old, they're hitting each other and throwing trucks at each other and what have you. It's natural for humans to be self-centered. Well, we need to forsake self. We need to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. We need to be not self-centered, but God-centered. Got a problem? Got a decision to make? Perhaps you don't know what to do or what to say. Go to the Bible. What does the Bible say? And then do or say that. The Bible talks to the heart, speaks to the heart, tells you what not to do, and then tells you what to do. Tells you what not to say or think, and then tells you how to say or think. We're not supposed to hate folks. We're supposed to forgive and be patient with them. In other words, love. We're supposed to love our enemies. Is supposed to do good for our enemies and pray for them. I want to punch him in the nose. Well, the Bible says you ought to pray for him and forgive him. And if you have an opportunity to help him or do good for him, then to do that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, I want to punch him in the nose. Well, you're supposed to be a new creature. Death, burial, and resurrection. You're supposed to die to self. You're supposed to say, Lord, I'm wrong, and the way I do things is wrong, and I want to punch him in the nose, but it's wrong. And baptism, again, is a symbol of that. That's what conversion, Christian conversion, is about. We believe that as we repent of our sins and ask Jesus in our heart that he comes, but there's a miracle done in the heart. Where God changes you. Instead of, I want to punch him in the nose, you have compassion for him and forgiveness and patience with the man. Now, you can't do that on your own. You can't say, well, I'm going to have compassion and I'm. That doesn't work that way. You still want to punch him in the nose, but God changes you on the inside. And that's the point. When you give your heart and life to Christ, there's a miracle done. On the inside. Baptism is a symbol. It's just water, and you just go down for a second or two, and you come up and walk away and get dry or whatever, and you live the rest of your life. It's a symbol. But it is supposed to symbolize a reality that's done in your heart. He changes the heart. He changes the heart. So that's the first two verses. We'll pick up at verse 3 next time. Lord, I appreciate the opportunity to preach and teach your word. Please help us. message, perhaps not popular, but it is the message from God. And we very much thank you that we have an opportunity to live for God. We have an opportunity to walk out and do what we want, I understand, but we have an opportunity, if we'll take it, to live for God and make God pleased with us. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.